If you're feeling frazzled and disconnected, I need you to know that there are three things you can do in just 10 minutes that can change your life. In the last episode, Michelle Grosser, the host of the Calm Mom podcast, shared with us her experience with burnout in early motherhood. In this episode, she returns to share simple, practical steps that you can take to protect yourself from burnout and start feeling like yourself again. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. We talk a lot about burnout, but what does it actually feel like? It's more than just being tired. I mean, for me, it was the sense of being caught in a loop. A relentless cycle where every day felt the same and the demands never stopped. I felt like I was reaching my limit, like my capacity for things had completely maxed out, but I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to get off of this crazy train. We learned so much in episode 34 from Dr. Morgan Cutlip about the mental load, that invisible labor of planning and organizing that so often falls on moms. But what happens when you're not just carrying the mental load, but you're also deep in a cycle of taking on too much? What happens when you're at the point of burnout? It's like your body is screaming for a break, but your mind can't find the off switch. If you've ever felt trapped in that cycle, that inability to slow down even when you're desperate for it, this is the episode for you. Dr. Morgan taught us how we can share the load, but today we're continuing our conversation with Michelle Grosser, who sheds light on what burnout is, but more importantly, how to heal from it. Michelle is an attorney, a pastor, a nervous system expert, a certified master life coach, and the host of the Calm Mom podcast. She coaches women through discovering what's beneath their triggers and emotions so that way they can begin their healing journey and find peace in the present. She understands that burnout isn't just a trendy word. It's a real state of imbalance that affects every aspect of our lives. So let's dive in and learn how to break free from the burnout cycle. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being here again this week. I am so excited to hear about burnout. And whoever says that, right?
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Chrissy. Thanks again for having me.
So last week, you told us all about your experience with burnout, how you experienced burnout, and how you eventually found your way out. And you have this wonderful, it sounds like a picture perfect life right now. I'm sure it's not, because life is not that way, but it sounds really cozy.
Yeah.
And I want to know from you, how are we going to heal our burnout? I listened to your mini podcast, your private podcast recently, and it truly is life changing. So tell me first, what exactly is burnout?
Okay. I think when we think about burnout, we have to kind of have an understanding about the fact that we are all limited beings, right? And our body has a capacity. Our mind has a capacity. The communication systems in our body, particularly between our gut and our brain, have a limited capacity. And when our body is at capacity, it will signal that to us, right? And there are symptoms that we will start to experience. So when we need rest, right? We know what it feels like to be tired. When we experience hunger cues, we understand that we need to put something in our belly before we get hangry. Mm-hmm. Right? Our body's always communicating with us. And the same is true when we have reached a limit that's associated with what we now call, you know, burnout, colloquially called burnout. So some of the earliest symptoms might be some mental and emotional symptoms that your body is reaching max capacity of what it can handle, right? So maybe you're feeling really easily overstimulated, right? All the noise, mm-hmm. and all the sounds and all the requests from the kids and the notifications and the pings and the dings, like it's just enough that it makes you feel like you're going to snap. Maybe you've been feeling really irritable and edgy, like you just wake up in the morning and you're just kind of in a sour mood, but like, you can't really pinpoint why. You're just like, I'm just kind of like, ugh, today. Maybe you're experiencing anxiety. Maybe you're feeling really overwhelmed. Maybe you're, you know you need to rest, but you're just so uncomfortable slowing down and you're always busy. Maybe you're hyper vigilant and you're someone who like can go down the rabbit hole or WebMD or the Google or the ChatGPT and like, figure all this stuff out. These are all, signs that our body is saying, hey, we're reaching max capacity, right? It's time to slow down. And we need to rest. We need to heal. We need to create space, whatever it is. And a lot of us don't know. One, we don't really notice the symptoms. We just chalk it up to like, well, I'm just a mom and I'm tired and I'm working and I'm doing all the things.
Right. All the things.
Like I'm doing all the things. Of course, of course I feel like this. Right. And then there are also physical symptoms that can come about. So, you know, chronic gut issues is, to me, that's always a red flag that there's something going on as it relates to the state of our being. Chronic muscle tension, aches and pains that you can't really explain, autoimmune conditions, sleep disorder, right? If you're having a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep. So many of these headaches, migraines are related to a body that's just screaming, right? We need to start doing things differently. And ultimately what happens is that when our body starts to perceive this sort of, we call it a threat, but like a stressor, right? That we're like, we've been going at a pace that's not sustainable. You know, when that happens once in a while, it's fine. Our body releases hormones, right? Cortisol and adrenaline, and it sends us into a response so we can do what we got to do to get through the hour or the day or the week or what have you. When we are doing that for 6 months or a year or 5 years or 10 years, it takes a toll on our body. And eventually, you know, our brain is like stress, stress, stress. And our body's like, no, I'm not releasing those hormones anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. Like just kind of wears down. And then all of a sudden, right, we crash. And all of a sudden we can't get that energy anymore. And we just feel like a shell of ourselves. And we're kind of dissociated and disconnected and withdrawn and just kind of in this mode that feels really burnt out. And that's kind of what we call burnout.
Yeah. Wow. So it's fascinating to hear you talking about the differences between just regular stress. Like so much of what you said is relatable, like the overstimulation. Sure. I experience that probably on a daily basis.
For sure.
Most of the time I can address it by just turning something off.
Yeah.
And then that one piece is gone and my body's back to a regular state.
Yeah.
Whether it's that toy that needs new batteries or whatever, you just get rid of it.
Yes.
But then there's more chronic things like the migraines and everything else that you listed that we know aren't normal and aren't just something you should live with, but we often do.
Yeah.
So what can you do, let's just say in the day-to-day, when you're experiencing stress, what can you do to help yourself prevent it from getting to a problem state?
Okay, so such a good question. So there are three kind of foundational habits, really, that I teach my clients, that I do myself, that will go so far in helping you to protect yourself against this state of burnout. Of course, there's like in the minute, in the moment things, right, that you can do, like you just mentioned with turning off a toy. And there are practices that you can actually do in the moment to shift the state of your nervous system. But big picture, if we're talking like day to day, how can we be preventative in this so we don't get to that state? Three things. And I like to teach them, like, can you do these for 10 minutes a day? So 30 minutes a day for this whole thing. And these are things that you can like combine together. You can be really creative about this. They will regulate your nervous system. They will protect you from burnout. But more than that, they will help you just feel like normal and alive and all the good things. So here's the first thing.
Tell me. Yes, I need this.
We got to move our body every day. Like there's just no way around that. You know, exercise, moving our body is the most efficient way to regulate our nervous system. And if you think about it, I mean, think about even maybe you guys have heard the term fight or flight, right? It's like you're experiencing something stressful. Your toddler's screaming. They're not putting their shoes on. It's hard to get out of the house in the morning, or big project at work or something. You feel it in your body. Like you're starting to get super annoyed, super triggered. You might lose it. Your body's entering into fight or flight. Think about fight or flight. Every cell in your body, when you're in that state, wants to move, right? It wants to run away to get safe, or it wants to like defend itself and fight to stay safe. It's fight or flight. And so many of us are living in that state for much of our day, right? We're just like kind of activated and anxious. And what do we do all day? We sit. Right? We sit in the car, or we sit at the desk, or we sit at home, or we feel that way and we try to like, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to stay still. I'm going to breathe. That's not helpful in that moment. Your body wants to move. So can you go for a walk, right? A 10-minute walk over your lunch break. Can you run up and down the stairs a few times? Can you do some squats? Can you do some jumping jacks? Can you sit and stretch? Can you just shake out your body? Can you put on a song and dance for a few minutes?
Yeah.
And I promise you, if you can incorporate movement, it doesn't have to be quote unquote exercise, but if you can incorporate regular movement through your day, that's a great protector against burnout.
And that can be done with your kids.
100
That doesn't have to be you time.
No, yeah. It can be done. It's, and your kids need it too. It's not just us, right? Your kids need it too. 100%. And my kids, like, they're 6 and 8, and we've been doing this together for a while, but like, they'll know when I'm starting to, like, Mom, you need to shake. And I'm like, yeah, I do. All right, let's all shake.
Oh, I love that.
Like, stand up and wiggle and shake and put on a silly song and we shake. And like, then I can breathe. Then I can, like, sit and meditate, then I fine. But initially, I got to get that energy out, right? I have to follow the impulse of my body that's telling me, you know, they're being chased by a lion, right? That's what it feels like. You've got to run or you've got to fight. I got to move. Yeah. So incorporate your kids in your movement 100%. And then the second thing, kind of big picture, is that we also have to incorporate moments of stillness. We have to have a stillness practice, I guess, if you call it that. Because in those moments of stillness, right, that's where our brain categorizes things. That's where our brain, you know, files things away. That's where we become more efficient. That's where we can be creative. That's where we can process a lot of things. But so many of us have been patterned and conditioned to be busy all the time, right? To be doing something all the time, to be listening even to like a podcast or, you know, something all the time. And we don't leave our brain the space that it needs to be able to do the things that it needs to do, to be able to function how we want it to function, right? We wonder why we're living in brain fog, but it's like we're literally not giving our brain the time that it needs. So, I mean, I like to combine that with my movement for me. Like even today, I had to go to UPS. And like I lift up the garage door to get out of the garage and my husband's truck is like parked right in front of my car. And I'm like, dang it. So I go to him. I'm like, hey, can you move your truck? I need to go to UPS. And he just looks at me. He's like, why don't you walk? It's like 5 blocks away. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I didn't want to walk, but I'm like, and I just shut the door, you know, and I walked to UPS and I didn't bring my phone. And I'm like, I needed this so bad because I needed to move my body and I needed to not be listening to anything or like consuming anything, or I just needed to be still in nature. And it was so good for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what does that look like on the practical? A lot of times if you have a commute, like, can you commute without listening to the radio or a podcast or an audiobook? Okay. Can you just do that for 10 minutes and then put it on, right? While you're, you know, sweeping or doing laundry, can you do that in quiet or silence instead of always having something running in the background, right? Like, what would it look like to leave your ear pods at home and just like, you know, go some, just, and it's little moments, right? Can you take 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here? Can I lay in bed? Sometimes I'll just lay in bed for 5 minutes before I get up because I'm like, those brain waves that early in the morning are so precious. I'm like, we're just jumping into the day. Like, can I just tell my body, right? Hey, there's a pace we're going to follow today and it's not going to be the pace of everyone out there. We're good. We've got this. And stillness is just so powerful in regulating our nervous system and protecting us against burnout.
When you first started talking, I'm like, yeah, right. I am not getting 10 minutes of stillness in without anything else going on. But when you threw in the folding the laundry, these are tasks that are productive.
Yep.
But they're not mentally stimulating. So you can fold that laundry, it becomes rote, it becomes a thing. So doing that is both. You can add it in. You don't just have to sit there quietly without your phone for your 10 minutes.
No, you don't have to. If you can, right? If you already have that as a practice, awesome. Good on you. Keep doing that. But for a lot of us, it looks different and that's okay. But ultimately, when I think about stillness for myself, it's like, can I just limit the input for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yep.
Yeah.
And 5 is more than 0.
5 is
like
more,
you said.
And sometimes with my clients, I'm like, can you start with 30 seconds today? That's okay. That's a start, right? And then we'll get up to a minute and then 3 minutes and then 5. So if it feels overwhelming, start small. It's great.
Love that. Okay. Now tell me the third. Okay. I need to know the trifecta here.
The third one is play. We need rediscover play. Yeah. As adults, as people with a lot of responsibilities and obligations and expectations and all the things, we've got to create space for us to be able to experience the things that bring us joy and light us up, not for the sake of, you know, getting something done, but just like for the journey, right? Just to be able to do something because it actually brings me joy to do it. And for a lot of us, you know, in motherhood, that's kind of one of the first things to go, I think. It's like we, you know, I have so many women I work with, they're like, man, I just don't even know what I like to do anymore. Like, it's been so long since I've done something that I love to do. Yeah. And maybe you're thinking that too, or maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have time for that, right? Or wouldn't that be nice? Or, you know, that's for other people, or that's for kids, place for kids. But I would just invite you to put that to the test. Because if you can find something that brings you joy, and I know you can, right? Think back on what are the things you love to do when you were 10 or 14 or 17. It's like maybe it's baking or cooking. Maybe it's an instrument. Maybe it's skateboarding. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's like doing puzzles or painting or what have you. Simple things, right? But if we can access that and what it does for our body on the regular, I challenge you more so than like your Pilates class, more so than like all these things that you're prioritizing. If you can prioritize play, nothing signals safety to your body, which is ultimately what you're looking for, right? Subconsciously, then play, right? If we were being chased or faced with any significant stressor or threat, we would not be playing. So any moment that we're playing, right? And by play, I mean doing things that we truly enjoy to do for the sake of doing them. It just brings so much safety to our body. And that allows us to access, you know, the parts of our brain that help us to show up as our quote unquote, like best self or highest self or whatever we want to call it. So it's so, so, so powerful to allow ourselves to play.
Oh my gosh. I remember the first time that I laughed being a mom, like my full body laugh, the old me laugh. And it was you know, years into my motherhood, but it like shook me.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Like at first it felt really good. And then I was like, what is this? Why does this feel different? Why does this feel new? Yeah. I'm a funny person. Yeah. And I forgot about that part of myself. And we get so in it.
Yeah.
Everything can feel so big.
Yes.
Because we have lives on our hands and it feels like a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be fun being a mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And and right. It's like that's the and. It's like all
and,
of it.
Yes.
It's really hard and it's really awesome. There are parts that are really easy and fun and there are parts that are super challenging and triggering. And can I find the joy and see the beauty, right? Despite what's happening. That's the magic.
100%. Yeah. Now, to bring it to back to the theme of like, let's figure out how to make this actually work in your life. I mean, your movement break of a dance party could be both of these things, right? Yeah. Like if you're really enjoying the music and not just going through the motions to appease your kids, to appease whatever, if you're truly getting into it, that's joy. That's play.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Get, you know, be playful in your selection of how you do these things. Be curious about it. Be, you know, treat it as a big experiment and then watch what happens. Because I think when we start to notice, we'll see the ROI, right? And we'll be like, oh, this isn't actually just like a woo-woo thing, right? I'm making more money than I've ever made. Right. I'm like, my marriage is better than it's ever been. Like, it impacts everything. The flow, the trickle-down effect is real.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, I want to talk about one thing about your relationship with that joy thing. So one thing I found is it can be really awkward if this is a piece of your life that you are missing, to reconnect with your joy with your partner. Because what I think is when you're doing it with your kids, you can tap into that childlike part of your body. Mm. But once another adult comes in, it feels weird. Is that something you're seeing too?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, a couple things are coming to mind there. I think the first thing is that we understand our capacity to experience emotions. When we understand how that works, right, we see that if we are in a pattern where we struggle to experience and feel the uncomfortable emotions. So if you are someone who, let's say anger, for example, right, that's a really uncomfortable emotion, especially for women and moms, like we're not allowed to have anger. There's so many labels with anger. So let's say you're someone who's either like, well, Michelle, I'm never angry. That's how I thought I was, right? I'm like, I'm super chill. Sure. I'm never angry. Like, I was very angry, actually. I just didn't know it. Or you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're like, I don't know what to do with my anger. I'm like always just like yelling and I don't want to yell at my kids, or I'm yelling at my husband. So we get into these patterns, right, where we're really uncomfortable. And then that emotion starts to come up. And what do? We suppress it, right? So we suppress, we suppress the frustration, we suppress the sadness, we whatever. We're probably not even aware most of the time that we do it. What we don't realize is that we can't just toggle on certain emotions and toggle off other ones. If we're suppressing anger and sadness and grief, we are also suppressing joy and happiness and, you know, all these beautiful things that we want to experience. Yeah. So if you've had a hard time accessing joy or sharing joy, that's something I would get curious about. How comfortable am I experiencing the uncomfortable emotions? How much do I let myself feel those? Because that'll actually help you cultivate an ease with which joy can come forth and you can experience it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, anytime that we are uncomfortable, let's say like being joyful or playful with our partner, holy moly, is that an invitation to just lean into that discomfort? Because that's like, that's the growth, the breakthroughs on the other side of it. Like, can it be okay that this is really uncomfortable and I'm still going to do it? Right? Can I just like push past that? I made a rule with myself 1 year. This was like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But anytime I had a thought that came through was like, oh, I could never do that. Immediately, I had to actually do it. And like, it was a rule I made with, I think I can't do that. I actually have to.
Challenge accepted.
Right? I'd walk in the room and be like, oh, I could never dance like, you know, a fool like I'm dancing with my kids with him. And then I'd be like, oh, have to do it now. I have to do this. And just flexing that muscle of being vulnerable and doing something new, and it feel like a stretch and feel scary. And then I guess the final thing I'll say to that too is, as I started to explore my own emotions and kind of practice feeling the uncomfortable one. So like, part of my identity was that I was strong, right? I wasn't like dramatic. I wasn't a crier. I wasn't one of those women. Like, I was strong. My story was like, I'm in control of my emotions. I have self-control. But then like a sad movie would come on and I'm the only person in the room who's not crying, and I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, why do I not feel sad? And everyone's like super sad. So I'm like, this isn't actually good, right? When I started to learn about it, and I told my husband, I'm like, listen, this is super awkward, but I'm going to tell you this, like, I'm actually going to practice being more emotional because I want to like open up that side of myself. So the next time that like you say something that hurts my feelings or the kids, or we're watching a sad movie, or like something makes me angry at work, instead of my old pattern of just suppressing it, I'm going to really try to like let myself feel these things and like maybe crying in front of you or whatever it is, right? You know, you have your own version of that. And can you just like not say anything, right? Can you just like know what's going on and just like be there for me? And he did. And it was beautiful. And it was so awkward and so beautiful. But I would encourage you to do the same thing. Like, if it feels weird, joy, what have you, like, man, can you just be like, I'm trying to be more free and more joyful around you. Can we just see what that feels like? It's going to be weird for me, but let's just try. And then go.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love having that conversation ahead of time, because like, don't be surprised by me being a little different or by these reactions. And you often say that burnout is common but not normal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot about the transition to motherhood that is normal that is very sad, right? You lose a lot of things. Yep. And we don't talk about how it is sad.
Yeah.
It's joyful. It's more than you've ever experienced in your life, but it's also really sad. And I love that you touched on that, about how we do suppress it because we're not supposed to be sad in motherhood.
Yeah.
Because moms aren't supposed to be sad. You're supposed to be
happy. Well, you're ungrateful if you're sad, you know, or like you're.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to you. You have a baby in your arms. How can you be so sad? Well, I'm sad because I don't know who my friends are anymore. And I don't even know why I'm sad. Yeah, exactly. That too. So to reconnect with this is so important, because everybody is going to experience sadness in this, or anger, and all of the emotions that maybe weren't a regular part of our life before, for whatever reason, they are now. And we have to come to terms with that. We have to accept that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we can only hold for and teach our kids that which we've experienced, right? So that was a big motivator for me too. I'm like, I don't want to raise, especially I have two girls, I don't want to raise another generation of women who are out of touch with their emotions, out of touch with their body, that are in these patterns of suppressing and showing up as everyone else wants them to be. You know, that's how we raise an anxious generation. That's how we raise another burnt out generation. But I couldn't teach any of that, much less model it, if I wasn't doing the work myself. Yeah.
Powerful, powerful. So you have a really incredible resource for moms who are hearing this, are recognizing themselves in it, and need to do deeper healing than these three steps. So tell us about your free podcast program that you have.
Yeah. So I have it's a 5-part private podcast series. It's completely free, called Heal Your Burnout. And basically what it walks us through in episode one, these are like really short actionable episodes. But in the first one, you kind of get a little quiz, I guess, to kind of gauge your stage of burnout. So am I tired, right? Or is this something deeper? Is this burnout that I should really look at through a different lens? And then we go through what's happening in your body, right? Understanding what chronic stress does to our body so that we can then understand what our body actually needs to start to heal and move out of that space. Mm. And then there's so many contributing factors that led us to burnout, right? It doesn't just happen overnight. We don't just wake up burnt out. Right. It's like years of, you know, poor boundaries and suppressing emotions and poor coping mechanisms and all these different things. So we kind of break those down in the last few podcasts and talk through how we can take, you know, those little steps today to start course correcting on some of these things that really, really pay off. So that's the private podcast series.
I love it. I've listened to it and it's worth the listen. Put it on while you're in the shower or, you know, maybe after you're 10 minutes into your walk, then put it on, right? Get that stillness in and then throw it on. And they really are bite-sized pieces that you can really take, and you give homework at the end that you can really take action steps on, yeah, which is so helpful. And then you have your regular weekly podcast and you just started a meditation. Is that going to be a regular piece?
I think so. I've gotten a lot of really good feedback about it. And it's something that you can kind of save and come back to. Like the one I released was a morning meditation for kind of like to have a grounded, grateful, energized morning. So yeah, I think I want to do more of them. I do them in my group program. So I have a whole regulation toolkit in there for the women that do the group program with me. So I'm just kind of like pulling them from that library that I have and then publishing them on the podcast. But yeah, the podcast, we have episodes that come out on Tuesday and Friday. It's called The Calm Mom. And it really is for the every mom going through all the things. We do talk some parenting, but it's really focused on you, right? It's focused on you, the mom, and how can we equip and resource you through the real life things that we experience in different seasons, anxiety, overwhelm, and burnout mostly, and give you, you know, practical, holistic, mostly body-based solutions to help you work through that. And then you can turn around and teach those things to your kids.
Yeah, definitely follow that and put that in your rotation. Now, where else can people find you?
The podcast is the best place. My website is just my name, michellegrosser.com. Once in a while, when I'm feeling inspired, I'll show up on Instagram, but I'm really not so inspired in that space and try not to spend so much time there. But honestly, the podcast, The Calm Mom, and then just my website, you can find out all the things there and connect with me. And there's tons of free resources and good stuff.
Great. Well, I feel like I could talk to you forever. So I really appreciate your time in this conversation and sharing it with our audience today. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my goodness, you make it so easy. It was such a joy. Thanks for having me.
Mother's Day is right around the corner. And if you've ever wished that it could be a little more personal, a little more yours, you are not alone. In the next episode, I'm going to be sharing 10 tiny traditions that you can start this year. Simple, meaningful ways to honor your journey through motherhood, even in the middle of the chaos. I've heard over and over again that moms need support in putting themselves first. So I created the More Than Mom community. This is a space to finally make time for the things that you love, one 10-day challenge at a time, with a group of moms who won't let you quit. It's a place to start feeling like yourself again in just 10 minutes a day, even if you have no idea where to start. You don't have to do this alone. You deserve to feel like you again, and I'm here to help you every step of the way. Check out the show notes for a link to a free trial membership. I'd love to have you join us.